You would this morning turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. There are some things in the Bible when we read, they're incomprehensible. And sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to comprehend the incomprehensible. We look at commentaries and ask people and do some more reading and thinking and things of that sort, trying to comprehend the incomprehensible. This morning we're going to look at some incomprehensible things in the book of 2 Samuel. It starts out in 2 Samuel, and you can hold your place at 18, but we'll start out in 13, and just to give a general rough story of what's going on here in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Yeah, that's my fault. Our verse this morning is 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33. But for the introduction, we'll be starting in 13. And like I say, it's just a rough introduction of what's going on to give us an understanding. And verse 13, we see a guy named Absalom who fell in love with his stepsister, or rather Amnon, who fell in love with his stepsister Tamar. And he fell so in love with her that he wanted her. Amnon, it says in verse 2, was so vexed. Anyway, to make a story here in 13, Amnon, he loved his stepsister so much, he wanted to get together with her so much that he made this ploy with his brother. His brother actually planned it for him. Pretend you're sick. Now, it's just like pretending you were sick from school, right? How many people pretended they were sick to get out of school before? Has anyone done that before? Brr. So here's Amnon. He pretended to be sick, and then he wants Tamar but I need, in order to get well, I need Tamar to come in and put the hot water bottle on my neck. I need Tamar to come in and turn my channels. I need Tamar to come in and make me warm milk and cookies. I need Tamar to come. Well, it gave him a chance to be alone with Tamar, and he had a physical sexual relationship with his sister, and then all of a sudden his heart turned against her, and she was very distressed. She put ashes of sackcloth on herself. Her brother Absalom said, "What's going on?" He said, "Hey, our stepbrother raped me." And that was Absalom's full sister. So then later on, Absalom got back at Amnon and had a big party for him. And then he slew Amnon. And all the sons of David took off. And Absalom took off all by himself. In verse 24 of chapter 14, after Absalom flees, verse 39, and the soul of King David, verse 39 of chapter 14, and the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. What we're going to concentrate here is the soul of King David longed forth to go to Absalom. David loved Absalom. And then Absalom wouldn't. Joab wanted David and Absalom to get together. And finally Absalom returns to David's court. And in verse 24, when Absalom returns, the king, verse 24 of 2 Samuel 14, and the king said, "Let him turn to his own house, and let him not see my face." So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Absalom went and killed one of David's sons. Absalom was away from David for how many months or years? Finally, Absalom comes back, and David's heart longs for Absalom. In verse 15 then, after shown grace by David, after being shown grace by his father, Absalom comes to the gate of Jerusalem and tricks all these people. If someone had a judgment against them, or Absalom said, boy, if I was king, I'd have done it this way. And he turned the hearts of Israel against David, his father, the king of Israel. Slowly but surely, over time, he turned the hearts of people against David, David's own son, the son that David gave grace to, and allowed Absalom to come back. And David flees from Jerusalem in chapter 15 because the hearts turned against David and there was an uprising. There was a revolution. And so David and his men and his wives fled Jerusalem. And then there was a battle. And Absalom and his men, it was more or less a civil war against David and his son. They come after David. And men fought and died and blood was shed. And David said, go out and fight, but let not Absalom, my son, be dead. Don't kill him. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 18, the only reason we're going to verse 27 is because I love the wording of verse 27. The battle's over. Absalom's dead. Joab thrusts Absalom through with seven darts. He's dead, and so they're waiting for the news. And in verse 27 of 2 Samuel chapter 18, and the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he's a good man. He cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, all is well. In other words, David, your men, your side has won the battle. All is well, and he fell down to earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. He turned aside and stood still. And then Cushai came, verse 31. And he says, the Lord have avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved. Hold it right here. This Absalom is the same Absalom that took vengeance for Tamar, his sister. This Absalom is the same Absalom that went to flee. This Absalom is the same Absalom that came and got grace from David and was allowed to stay. This Absalom is the same young man, the son of David, who took advantage of David, who took advantage of the grace of David and turned the hearts of a nation against David. He did all these horrible things to his father David. And David says in verse 33, and he went up to the chamber and over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and we ask you, Lord, to please be with us this morning. Lord, I ask you to open our hearts to your message, to your word, to what you'd have us want to hear. Not only hear, but obey. Oh my God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for affording us grace that we might have eternal life. Lord, I also thank you for your patience with us. How you keep us, Lord. And you promise us everlasting life. And you deliver us everlasting life. We thank you, Jesus. Help us to be more like you. We ask these things and we praise your holy name. Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've read that and I've often wondered, why in the world would David say such a thing? Because I know what I would say. After all the horrible things, son or no son, stranger or friend or foe alike, I know what my response would be. Thank God he's dead. Don't let the screen door slap you on the way out. And all those things. Those are one of the uncomprehendable things in the Bible. How can David say such a thing? His own men, his men that were loyal to him, who crossed the brook with him, who helped save him from Absalom, some of those men had just died on the field, and David's worried about Absalom. What a slap in the face to his army and his faithful. Why would David say such a terrible, such an uncomprehendable thing? I guess we have to consider that Absalom was his son, and David loved his son, and his heart was toward Absalom. We're going to learn some things from the characters in this story. Number one, we're going to learn from Absalom. It's uncomprehendable how Absalom could rebel against his father. And we don't have to go through all the things that he did and how he rebelled against his father. We've gone through them, but it shouldn't be incomprehensible to us as human beings in our lives today, because how quickly today can people turn on each other? At the drop of a hat, at the turn of a dime, we can turn on each other. A lot of times, just after we do something very nice for somebody, and they blindside you because they turn on you, as if you're their worst enemy in the world. Nice guys finish last. Not only do people turn on us, it shouldn't be incomprehensible that Absalom turned on David, because we turn on others. Hello, but we're card-carrying, Bible-believing Baptist believers. How dare we say such a thing, that we can turn on others? We need to look at our own life yesterday, this last week, this last month, and it shouldn't be too uncomprehendable to us how Absalom could turn on his own father. We turn on our boss when he doesn't give us the vacation we requested. We turn on our co-workers when they slack, because they're the only ones that are slackers. I don't slack. If everybody could be an employee, a model employee of the month like me. But we'll turn against our co-workers. We'll turn against our boss. We'll turn against our family over politics. It should not be incomprehensible how David can turn on his own father. We can turn on our spouse just like that. Our spouse is the one we love. Our spouse is the one we want to spend the rest of our life with. Our spouse is the one we promise to spend the rest of our life with. And we turn on our spouse over big things. Big important things like the little plastic deal on the red wrapper. Get that plastic thing off there and just put the red wrapper underneath. There you go. Yeah, yeah. We turn on our spouse at these great big things. Like parking crooked. Yeah, or candles. Why light those candles? They smell worse than the dog. The coffee's too weak, too much cream, too much salt, not enough pepper. And we'll turn on our spouse over little things. And yet we find it incomprehensible how Absalom could turn against his father David, and yet we can turn on our spouse just like that. It's wrong. Just like it was wrong for Absalom to turn against David, it's wrong for us to turn against our family, our boss, our co-workers, our spouse. We can turn on our friends over a misunderstanding. Parents, or rather kids, how many are kids here? Okay, you can put your hands. How many kids are paying attention? Raise your hand. How many kids are not paying attention? Raise your hand. Yeah. Hey, you kids. You can turn on your mom and dad so quick it'll make your head spin. Because they made me do the dishes today and I did it yesterday. That's not fair. You better watch how you turn against your parents. Your parents are just like David and they do everything for you. They provide everything for you. They put a roof over your head. They feed you. They clothe you. They love you like nobody in the whole world on this earth does. They love you and you can turn on them. I'm talking to teenagers, adults, and little kids alike. You better watch it. Because you'll break your mom and dad's heart. And it's not right. David did everything he could for Absalom. And Absalom did not appreciate it. And he turned on his father. Don't turn on your mom and dad. You thank your mom and dad. You be grateful to your mom and dad. You obey your mom and dad. When you get 18, you can move out from mom and dad. But until that time, you obey and you thank them and you graciously accept what they've done for you. And then when you move out at 18, and then when you're 23 or 24, you can come back and thank your mom and dad and ask them for forgiveness. Because you turned on them for no reason except for a selfish, self-serving reason that they did not deserve. Your mom and dad give you everything. They worry about you. And then you ask for a couple $100 for this or maybe $5. Hey, we don't have it. I'm not. And all of a sudden they're the worst parents in the whole wide world. No, not just some of the worst. They're the worst parents in the whole wide world. You can turn on them. Don't turn on your mom and dad. You love your mom and dad. You thank your mom and dad. Realize what they do for you every day. Even when the lights are out and you're in bed, your mom and dad are still doing things for you. They're planning for your future. They're worried about you. They're wondering who you're running around with, what you're learning at school. You're continually on their minds. Don't turn on your mom and dad. Like Absalom did to his daddy, David. We've learned from Absalom. How in the world could he do such a thing? It's incomprehensible. But then we read this verse and we see David cry for his son Absalom. We see the incomprehensible love of a parent. I've not been a parent. I'm not going to be a parent. But my brother, twin brother, was sort of a nomad and then he headed out. He was with Bozeman for 6 months and quit there, and then he headed out to Connecticut and quit there. He quit Connecticut, he quit this, he quit that, and finally ended up in the Coast Guard, went all the way around the world and continued to be a nomad and never saw him and didn't get along with him and didn't care for him. He didn't care for me. I don't know why. He didn't keep in touch with mom and dad. Then he got married, and then she had a kid, and there was a big dispute. And my mom and dad sent him money for an attorney so that they could have custody over that kid. I did not understand that. You as a parent do understand that. But it's incomprehensible. The love of a parent for their kids. What about the incomprehensible love of God? Lord says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will. We read in verse 33 once again, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus, he said, oh, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As David cried for Absalom, as David cried because he loved his son Absalom, and he would have died for Absalom. And kids, your parents would die for you in a heartbeat. And you don't appreciate and you don't know it. But they love you with a love you'll not be able to comprehend. And God loves us with a love that we cannot comprehend, because he did. He came and he died for us in our place because of our sin. After all Absalom did to David, his rebellion, we rebel against a most holy God. We rebel against our Father. You see, he dies for us. We get saved. We ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin. And we trust what he did for us on the cross. And we realize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I'm trusting you and you only. And he forgives us. And we become his son. And then we read this thing about Absalom. Say, how in the world could... Boy, that guy's no good. He's a knucklehead. I can't believe he would do such a thing. We do the same thing. We rebel against our Father. We sin willingly against our Father who loves us. We malign his name. We put a black eye on his name. By the things we say, the things we do, the places we go. Oh my goodness. How could Absalom do such a horrible thing? Thou art the man. We do the same thing to our Father in heaven. He does all those things and David cries for him. I wonder how many times God cries for us. He looks out for us. He feeds us. He clothes us. He houses us. He blesses us day after day. He never, never, never quits blessing, and we rebel against him. And I wonder if we break his heart like Absalom broke David's heart. It's incomprehensible, the love of God. When they were nailing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross, he looked into the heavens. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's an incomprehensible love. But I believe it, because the Bible says it, and his word is truth. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will never pass away. I can't comprehend the love of God, but I'm glad I'm a beneficiary of the love of Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. What can we learn from this story? We learned about Absalom, the incomprehensible rebellion from David, the incomprehensible love, and the incomprehensible love of our God.